time for Flames Unfiltered, your spot for Calgary Flames hockey talk.
Friday night's last-minute gong show lands us two critical points. The Flames are still alive. Good evening, welcome to another edition of Flames Unfiltered, hosted by Kyle Lewis and Brad Brood. Kyle, we are still alive. We are still watching meaningful playoff or meaningful regular season hockey in Calgary, and we wrote us off last week. I did.
Yeah, I'm still erring on the side of caution, but I mean, first of all, I'm just glad that you're still alive because you're pretty sick this past week.
I was. I'm really, really glad that we didn't originally plan to do like a Tuesday or Wednesday show, because I would not have made it. I don't think I hate canceling these things or even shuffling times. I don't like doing it.
It's hard when you don't feel well. I mean, because you just can't get into it as much. You're tired. You kind of stumble through it, and
you're not excited.
I went through some of that too in December, and it's tough.
Yeah, and so just to be. I told my wife this morning when I woke up, I said, the junior hockey team that I cheer for is in literally the exact same position as the Flames. Mm-hmm. Exact. 2 points out of a playoff spot. They both played last night. Junior team won. Flames won.
And I'm also worth noting that my junior team won game one of their series in overtime. So,
there you go. We had a great hockey night last night. Yeah. Minus the Winnipeg game. But regardless, though, I mean, it was everything that, I mean, it was almost everything we could have asked for. And last week, before I went into my sick coma, which if I do sound bad, I apologize. My chest, throat, everything's still not normal, but we're good.
I'll carry the mail for you today. I got lots to say.
I'm going to need that today. I'm going to need that because. Anyway, so after last week, I watched Flames hockey, and the stress was gone for me because I didn't think we were getting in. I had wrote us off that horrendous game against LA. I did. I agreed with you, Kyle. You're the one that talked me into this. I agreed with you. I didn't care anymore. I told myself I didn't care. I just watched the damn game. And I quit going to bed at night checking the out-of-town scoreboard and how we could mathematically do this, and I put it all in my rearview mirror. So I thought. And then Winnipeg lost, and then we rattle off a win in Vegas, and then all of a sudden I'm looking at it, and I'm like, we're right back in this.
It's such a dangerous game, though. Like, I just keep saying the same thing over and over when I discuss this. It's that I'm just grateful to be still watching meaningful hockey with a handful of games left, because we shouldn't be. Realistically, no. We really shouldn't be. We pissed away so many games that they should have won, all those one-goal losses. So, I still don't feel great.
I don't either. It's guarded optimism.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about the best you can hope for. So, you know, just enjoy the next few games. Hopefully Winnipeg stumbles. Actually, it's funny. I was at a bar last night prior to going to said junior hockey game. The guy next to me at the bar, his son is a video coach for the Jets.
Really?
So when I was wearing a Flames hoodie, so I was just giving it to him, right? Like, a phenomenal guy. Like, it was actually a really fun conversation, but just, you know, what are the odds of that?
It is odd. Yeah. Speaking of jerseys, I see you got a game worn one on tonight.
Yeah, so I mentioned before I'd wear one kind of for the next few shows, just randomly out of order. So this is Mike Camilleri's playoff jersey from 2009. I wore a playoff jersey specifically because I'm trying to manifest playoffs despite my unending negativity and doubt.
I will go without a shirt if it manifests us getting to the playoffs, and nobody wants to see that.
Yeah, we're gonna take the show off YouTube.
for sure. Or we'll just have a black screen on mine that day.
Yeah.
Speaking of jerseys, though, okay, you're kind of a Blasty fan, and I'm not. Do you know what our record with Blasty is this year?
I think it's pretty damn good, if I remember.
No, right. It's shitty, Kyle. It's shitty.
Is it? Oh, maybe it was the other. Oh, okay. It might have been a couple seasons ago. I'm thinking of. How shitty is it?
4-7-1. I don't like that. I don't think that's very good.
How? What is in the pedestals? Do we know?
3-0-1.
Oh, fuck off.
You know what the classic red is? 10-8-2.
Yeah.
I didn't look up the white jerseys, but I mean, they're whatever our damn road record is, right?
Oh, exactly, right? There's 41 games here. It's a large sample.
So I don't know. I don't think
that has anything to do with it. I mean,
I don't think it has anything to do with it.
But it's funny how some people look at that though, especially if you get like a, you know, like a team that's like 10-1 to certain jerseys. Like, oh, wear them again. It's like, oh, right, fine.
I heard that the Montreal Canadiens are going to wear their baby blue ones for every home game the rest of this year because they have a higher winning percentage with those jerseys. I'm thinking, you suck. You're not going to make the playoffs. What does it matter? How is that relevant at that point for them?
I didn't think that you could change the jersey. I thought once the schedule was set, that was it.
I read it today. It was a fairly credible source on Twitter, but I don't know. We'll see.
It's certainly possible.
I didn't think you could just do that. I thought you were mandated certain amount of games for your retro and a certain amount of games for your alternate, and then the rest had to be your standard.
Well, that was my understanding, but I want to touch on actually about the Habs just quickly because, as I said before, I work with a bunch of Habs fans. So those guys were saying like, oh, you know, like you're a Flames fan. It could be worse. You could be a Habs fan. Like that actually isn't worse. We're fighting for our playoff lives. Meanwhile, Montreal can have like a really, really big, important offseason, right? So
if they handle it right, but I have zero confidence Montreal will.
Yeah, I don't know either. I just think it's funny how people think if you're fighting, it depends on how you look at it. Because in some cases, anything can happen in the playoffs. But it's like, oh, you guys are in a way better spot than we are. I'm like, right now, but we have a lot of large contracts. And
come talk to me in a week.
Yeah, maybe come talk to me in 3 days, right? Like, we shall see.
We shall see how luxurious we look. We look a hell of a lot better than we did 2 weeks ago. But we're still not like we're living it up here, picking who we're going to play in the playoffs. I've heard conversations on that.
Yeah, exactly. Like the cool thing is, one of the guys that covers the Flames had tweeted today, like, you know, practice is notably lighter and people are in a better mood. And it's like, I wish that had been the case 2 weeks ago. It could very well be too little too late, but as I said, I think everybody's perspective right now should be, hey, the games still matter. So let's just try to enjoy it.
One game at a time. On today's show, we got to recap four games, heavy emphasis on the last two. We're going to talk about a loss, the Golden Knights, and then the wins, the Sharks, the Kings, and then the comeback. Yes, finally a damn comeback against Vancouver last night. Lots of Flames news to talk about. I want to talk about the injuries. I think the milestone for Backlund and 900s is pretty impressive. And Walker Dewar and Dustin Wolf, a little bit to talk about with those guys. And then we'll move on to the big news. Matthew Coronato signs with the Flames, and then the playoffs are still a possibility. We're going to break that all down, talk about how we think the coming week will go. And, you know, we wrote them off last week. They will not die. We'll give you the rundown how this week's going to go. A critical game against the Jets. We got a lot to talk about today on the show. I'm amazed because last week I wrote this team off and it took me a long time. Everybody made fun of me because I was the eternal optimist on this team, and I wrote them off and I was wrong, and we'll see what happens this week. All right, now we're going to roll through a couple quick scores, and then we're going to get on with some recaps of games. And the first one I went, the Vegas game. Vegas came to Calgary last Thursday night, 3-2. Vegas got up 2-0 right away in the first, and it just seemed like such a slog to get back into this game. And I never really felt that we were going to get back into it, did you?
No, not at all. I mean, as I've said many times, based on prior results especially, it's like, this is, here we go.
It just felt like a slog. Just like, ugh, are we going to get back into this?
It's such a gross word. It's too close to slug, you know?
I know, but that's just how it felt. I just never really felt comfortable with that game. And then two nights later, San Jose comes to town, and we get a goal from Weegar and one from Toffoli right away, and we're up 2-0, and we give up three straight. And when that happened, I don't know. Did you not feel like, this is so much like this season is gone. This is the end. I kind of felt that way.
Yep. Yep, 100%.
It kind of just was like, yeah, this is a script that we've seen a lot this year. And I don't know. Calgary rolls off. Well,
that's where my pessimism would rear its ugly head, because it's like, hey, this is what we've always seen. Why should we expect any different, right? And it's really hard to get away from that type of thinking when you've seen it so often.
Then Walker Dewar showed up. What a man. What? This guy is off the charts. He's got in his last, well, it's six games now because he didn't have any points last night, but he has in his last six games, he's got 2 goals, 5 points. He's plus three, 12 shots, 12 hits.
Yeah, he's, man, I don't know what else you can ask for from him. Like,
this guy.
Like, his determination on that Kadri goal the other night, like, it's just like, man, like you gotta kind of wonder, would we have like another 4 or 6 points in the standings if he played all season long with this team? Like, I kind of feel like we might.
We could say that for a lot of things, though.
Oh, we could say that for fucking everything.
We could be in first place so easily.
One more save here, another save there, you know.
But like, he scores a tying goal that night against San Jose, then gets that play to Kadri, and Toffoli seals the deal. But I mean, look at how big of an impact player he was in that game.
What the goal that he scored too was so confident. Oh man. Like, he just hammered that puck. It's like, wow, you know what? This guy belongs here. And not only does he belong with the team, but he is, like, I would argue, most likely helping lead the charge of this newfound positivity and energy that seems to be around the group. Right.
Yeah. It looks like he's got a good attitude. I mean, he works his ass off every shift. He's on a line with Lucci, so he's going to get a shit ton of ice time. So, I mean, what could you ask for? Right? Could you imagine what he would be like if he had a solid line?
We might find out next season.
We might. Tuesday, Los Angeles comes to town. The Flames come into this game 4 back. And this game, I'm interested to see what you think of this game. Because I thought this was going to be the script of how our team was every game this year. Now, obviously, you can't be this way every game. But this was the prototypical just outwork your opponent, take advantage of your chances, and the Flames come out with a 2-1 win and a game winner from Walker Dewar again.
Yeah, really, really nice. How do I say that? Just a really good effort. Like, just, you know, I didn't think they were going to win that game. I thought that would probably be the death knell, even though we've already said a few times it seems like there's already been a death knell for this team. But I was quite surprised, more than anything, of the fact they hung on for a 2-1 win. Because that's like the hallmark of a Daryl Sutter coach team. And all those games we lost by one goal, it's like, oh my God, we won one by one goal. What? But
it was like one of the first times, Kyle, that I've been watching a game in like the third period with 5 minutes to go and not felt like, oh, when is this going to come now? I didn't that night. I felt so comfortable with how other team was playing. I did. I felt so comfortable.
It's a weird feeling, eh? It's almost uncomfortable feeling comfort for a change.
I did. I felt comfortable. And when we just rode it out, made a couple big saves. I didn't think the ice was even tilted in LA's direction in the third.
I didn't think so either, which was surprising.
I know. It just was nice. It was a breath of fresh air, and this one drew us to within 2 points. And we got help from Winnipeg, and I'm like, now we're in this, and we're in it for real, and we're playing good hockey too. Friday night comes, Calgary heads down to Vancouver, and I don't know. I worried about this one because Vancouver has been really good lately. Really, really good.
As teams often are when they're out of it this late in the season.
Vancouver. You know, I got a good friend that's a Canucks fan, and he's texting me last night complaining about the high sticks and stuff, and I'm like, what? You know, and then after the game, he texts me that the Canucks got jobbed. And I'm like, you want to talk about getting jobbed? We got jobbed in 04. The puck was over the line, and none of us are, I mean, you guys in Vancouver can find the craziest things to complain about. A meaningless game 75 for you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It sounds like you're just trying to pick an argument. Actually, Speaking of junior hockey as well, Connor Garland played junior hockey here in Moncton, and he had quite the goal there on that quite surprising stripping of the puck from Michael Backlund. You don't see that very often. That was a very glaring, rare error for him. Who, yeah. By the way, Backlund is now 1 point off tying his career high.
Yes, I saw that. You tweeted that the other night. That's an impressive stat. That's
yeah, I mean, his 53 points was like 5 years ago now. His plus minus is to the roof. Like he should be right up there for the Selkie this year. No question.
Yeah.
That last night's play, you know, excluded.
Yeah. And, you know, last night he had two plays like that when you think about it, because the second one kind of hopped over his stick too. And
yeah,
that's just very uncharacteristic of
but him. The guy I felt the worst for was Huberdeau on that penalty shot. That was the opposite of how I described the Walker Dewar goal. He just... the fact he got the tying goal is very poetic justice in a way, but that penalty shot's like, man, like this guy's just having a rough season. And not because he didn't score, it's because it looked like, are you going to try to score? Do you have any idea what you want to do here? You're the same guy that had 150 points last year.
Remember when you were a kid and you were playing, like, you probably played, I'm way older than you, so I was playing the freaking Atari probably, but you know how in your hockey your joystick would get jammed? And your player would just freaking skate into the boards and just in the boards. That's what I thought Huberdeau was going to do. It was just like, what are you doing? You know, but I don't know. Game tying goal. He comes back. That's a huge goal for him. And
great play too. Great awareness. I mean, just to throw that puck at the net like that.
I don't know.
Somebody said they thought Noah Hanifin intentionally fired that puck wide. I don't know that I believe that. I've seen players do it, and it's very clearly intentional. In this case, I think he just missed the net, but I could be wrong.
So I'm going to tell you who I thought was good last night and who I thought kind of struggled last night. I thought Backlund had an off night last night, and not just because of the turnovers. He just didn't pop like he has been lately. I thought Hanifin was the struggle bus last night. I thought Troy Stetcher and Andrew Mangiapane had wonderful games, and Uyghur.
Uyghur offensively is like... He's been fantastic the last, 15 games.
Since All-Star break, he's elevated his game, and he has really stepped into his place in Calgary. And
I wonder if anybody's asked him that in the media recently. Like, you know, why do you think the points are starting to come for you? And when you watch him play, it looks like it's a matter of positioning and confidence in the offensive zone. Speaking of which, Troy Stetcher, that was a very confident shot last night. Like,
he's had two this week like that.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I like this guy. I like Troy Stetcher. I feel very comfortable with him on the ice. I don't sweat it when he's back on D. Do you?
No, we are big Troy Stetcher fans here at Flames Unfiltered.
Michael Stone gets into the lineup this week, and we got Stetcher and Stone on a pairing. I got a feeling that's our favorite pairing, right? Although Stone's let us down this year. We were his presidents of his fan club, and then he's kind of had a couple tough weeks, but he's back from injury.
I think he's great to have around the room. I don't. You know, it's good depth, as they say, but Gilbert is just fine where he is. I'm not sure I'd make that change, but wouldn't surprise me to see him come in sometime next week, though. I thought Jay come back. And
I thought Gilbert struggled last night. I did.
He did. He's been pretty steady. I don't know that Michael Stone would have played any better, I guess, is my argument.
No, but I think you got to get Stone in now, don't you? Like, I think tomorrow night's a perfect opportunity for Stone to come in, Gilbert to come out, have Stetcher and Stone. Yeah. I feel like you're going to have to get him in the final six games.
He's going to score 3 goals with that rocket of a slap shot.
I think Sunday night's the night to do it.
I don't know. Ducks at home wouldn't be a bad opportunity. And I, you know, even though there's no guarantees, I think it's smart to rest guys who've been playing a lot. And you know, Gilbert's kind of in that, not, you know, huge minutes necessarily, but he's played quite a lot of hockey for a relatively newcomer to the NHL. So, I wouldn't have an issue with that.
What were your thoughts on Markstrom last night?
It's hard to judge because it's like a lot of those goals, like he can't do a damn thing about. He made some monstrous saves.
Yeah, he did.
So despite the fact the stat line is atrocious, as it has been much of the year, I kind of alluded to that, you know, before I went on the air, like he's... he had like a Grant Fear-esque game, like a shitty save percentage, but saves when they really needed them.
He did.
I thought there was one goal there he could have had, but I mean, otherwise, he did what he had to do, and the team actually gave him their own support. So I was very, very clutch saves, many of which we have not seen, you know, from him enough this year.
Toffoli with his 69th point of the season last night.
Yep.
Game winner in overtime. The man is clutch. And another thing that happened last night, Flames won three in a row. And up until last night, they were 0-18-3 when trailing after 40 minutes. What a time to do that. Bad. That is so bad.
Oh, God, that hurts my ears just listening to that.
We can quit talking about it now because they did it.
Yeah, because they're 1-18-3. Woo!
Hey, but Kyle, if you're going to do it, though, like, okay, I'd rather them do it last night when it meant something. What if we would have been in game 81 or game 80 and we're out of a spot and then we rattle off three in the third and win? I'd be pissed. Because then I'd be like, I needed this in game 42, not 82. But, yeah, crazy.
No, it's good to see. I mean, they very easily and almost did go the entire season with that stat, right? So I don't want to make too much light of it. It's just, it's so embarrassing. I kind of have to. So
it is an embarrassing stat.
Yeah.
I'm just glad it's behind us. And that this was a really big win last night. I think it was big in the room. It'd have been a tall task if we'd have went down 4 points last night. It would have been a tall task.
Oof. Yeah. People that expected the Jets to keep free falling, if anybody did expect that, I don't think that's realistic. But I think that if I had to guess going into Wednesday night's game against the Jets, I think we're still going to be 2 points back, and it's going to be a massive, massive game. I do think the Flames, I'm hoping, but I also think they're actually going to crush the Ducks tomorrow, something to the tune of, 4-5-1 perhaps, and kind of keep this thing rolling, because that was a huge, huge win last night.
It was a huge win. Injuries. Kristanov out of the lineup, has missed, I believe, four now? Is it four or five?
Maybe five. It's been a while anyway.
I did see reported, was it Derek Wills reported that he doesn't even have a stall in the locker room right now?
Oof.
Which honestly doesn't surprise me. I none of us really saw the injury. We've been told it's upper body. I don't know. He's had a tough go since he got injured last year in the playoffs. He's had a tough time staying healthy, and that was kind of his MO when he was in Vancouver. And I don't know. It worries me a little bit. Although there wasn't really a whole lot of times. I mean, I would love to have Kristanov in the lineup last night, but like, people have stepped up. Mackenzie Weegar has really stepped up. Rasmus Anderson's been playing some good hockey. And Michael Stone is back now. He's been practicing with the main group, and he's ready for action. So, I don't know.
Interesting to see how... Yeah, I don't... That, to me, sounds like Tanev may not be back this season, and they just don't want to come out and say it. But that's also a bit of speculation on my part. But if his stall is empty, that's where then...
He's listed day-to-day.
Yeah.
I also heard, though, that, like, it is not that uncommon for people to not have a stall for a day-to-day injury either. So,
yeah, but I mean, until we see him, in full practice, he's presumably a ways away. So, which is unfortunate because when he is on, I don't think there's a defenseman in the league you could argue is more important defensively to his team than Kristanov is, which blows my mind because, the summer Brody walked and they signed him, I think we were all like, what the hell?
Liked it because I like his style, I guess. I'm like,
Oh, and I like his style too, but I didn't think he'd perform as well as he has. I don't know many people that did.
No, I was worried about injuries.
Well, yeah, and up until more recently, and I guess the playoffs last year, you would have been right to worry about that. But back actually, as far as we always talk about the contracts age poorly, his has aged quite well, all things considered.
Oh yeah. Yep. Michael Backlund played his 900th game. Super happy for him and his family. He's just been such a. We're kind of his fan club too, so he's just been a great Calgary Flame. I saw a question on Twitter, and I don't even remember who put it on. Maybe it was it Ryan Pike? He asked the question: does Michael Backlund get his number retired in Calgary? I never really thought about it.
That depends on how you look at it. If Dustin Brown gets a freaking statue in L.A., Michael Backlund gets his number retired and a statue. So, because there's no point in Dustin Brown's career where he even mattered that much to the Kings as much as Backlund typically has the Flames, in my opinion. Now, he had a couple of good playoff runs. He was a good player, but that's absurd. I just had to throw that out there. Now, I don't... It's really, really, really special to retire a jersey number. I know. The dumbest one I've ever seen in my life is Chris Neal's in Ottawa, and I like Chris Neal, but that is absolutely ridiculous. Yes. And that, like, you don't retire a jersey just because a guy's a fan favorite.
No.
And that's the best argument I can make. Michael Backlund is a fan favorite and a damn good Flame.
Yeah.
I don't like the Forever a Flame program, but he's a shoe-in for that. But a jersey retirement, like, we've got Lanny, we got Vernon, and we got Iginla.
Yeah, we don't even have Kiprusoff and Fleury.
Well, exactly. And, you know, politics aside, Fleury's number should be up there because nobody's worn it since.
He should be up there for sure. He should be in the Hall of Fame with his numbers.
Yep. And Kiprusoff was a no-brainer as well. I'm not sure this team will ever have a goaltender as dominant as Kiprusoff again.
I highly doubt it.
Yeah. And that's a big ask. You know, that's not to say we're not going to draft good goalies. Like, Dustin Wolf is otherworldly, right? And we'll get to him in a bit as well. But
Kiprusoff
is just on the level.
Have you seen Dustin Wolf's numbers?
His
last 10 starts, he's 9-1. He's got a 1.60 goals against average, a .948 save percentage, 3 shutouts in those last 10 games. Holy cow. This guy's off the charts.
Look at his AHL stat line in general.
I know. It's
off the charts. I guess maybe we'll start to get into that now. How does that guy not become something of a good NHL goaltender?
I think he does.
I think so too, but people are like, oh, goalies are fickle, and that's true. And
goalies are. I watch a ton of junior hockey, and goalies are kind of like rolling the dice. Some of the goalies that I thought were going to pan out, I shouldn't say he didn't pan out. I mean, like Sogard in Ottawa, I watched him as a youngster play in the North American Hockey League, and he was very, very calm in the net and very good, and now he's made it to the National Hockey League. But then, you know, you look at other guys that we thought were going to be, you know, top-end goaltenders in this league. Mm-hmm. They just, I mean, look at the struggles. I know people argue with me and say he is a top-end goaltender, but look at the struggles of Carter Hart.
Oh, yeah.
Like, is he ever going to be the same? Is he going to be the same? I don't know.
Truthfully, probably not in Philly.
I know. That's, you know.
I think he's going to need a fresh start. Maybe that'll happen, but 51 games played, a .210 goals against average, and .932 save percentage for Dustin Wolf. Mm-hmm. He could be the best, if not one of the best, goaltenders in AHL history. Like, I'm going to have to look more into that, but I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be a Hall of Famer in the NHL or anything like that, but I mean, he is going to be a good professional goaltender for some team in the NHL, hopefully the Flames.
And I think it will be the Flames, but I'm also not on crew yet totally. I mean, I've considered it in my head, but I think you got to go with Vladar Markstrom next year, and you still can get Wolf games next year. You can. Here's another thing here's some background on why I feel that way. Goaltenders get injured, and we have went so long in Calgary without an injury that I can't believe. I mean, thank goodness. I mean, I'm super happy when I say that comment. But how many years can you go where you don't have a starter or backup go down? Like, just statistically speaking, we have not had a goaltender go down for longer than a 12-game stretch in quite some time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look at Ottawa this year and all the struggles they had with goaltenders. Yeah,
Las Vegas, they're on, like, their fifth one.
Oh, yeah, just crazy. Which is, yeah, that's like the Flames 25 years ago when they had Tyler Moss, Tyrone Garner, Trifalov, Jaguar, I think, Brathwaite. God, I might have named them all. Anyway, it was crazy. To your point, like, I agree, but I also think two things. Wolf has nothing else to prove in the AHL.
I agree with that comment. I agree.
And I do think that you at least need to test the market for Vladar because he's a good, competent backup, possible 1B goalie in the league and might be worth looking at.
I think it's a smart idea to test the waters on that. But if we don't get an offer that we feel we're on the upper hand, then why do it?
Yeah, if you get a decent draft pick and a roster player for him, I think you do it.
I think
somebody offers you. I think if somebody offers you
a third round pick,
you don't do it.
No, why would you? You know,
God, have we ever agreed so quickly and adamantly on something?
We don't usually agree. That's like. That doesn't make the show as good, right? When we argue, it's a little better. But I don't.
Well, but when we do it in unison, it's almost majestic. You know, it's that third round point we both just made.
Yeah.
Yeah. People need to appreciate that. I sure do. Yeah.
Matthew Coronato signs out of Harvard, inks a 3-year deal with the Calgary Flames, $925,000 per year, the max, and a max A bonus for the final 2 years. I still yet to have somebody explain to me what exactly the hell a max A bonus means, but what I've been told, it's the upper level. So
yeah, it's basically the best entry level deal a player can sign.
Where are we with Matthew Coronato? How excited on a level of 1 to 10 are you to see him play?
To see him play, probably a 10. Yourself, what are your thoughts?
I think he's going to be a hell of a hockey player in the National Hockey League. I just don't know that he's ready right at this moment.
Well, whether he is or isn't, it'd be good to see him get a game or two, but I don't think he gets a game or two.
Unless,
the Flames are out of the playoffs.
Here's something I'm going to throw at you. Right now, if we need to fill a spot on the forward, like let's say Richie or Lucic, let's say we were going to replace one of those one night. I don't think that'll ever happen, but let's say we were going to do that just hypothetically. Yeah. I'm putting Peltier in before Coronato.
Oh, you want right? Your own commodity in the lineup. Yeah.
And so that's why I'm real hesitant that he gets a game.
Well, and I also said, you know, if they're not going to make the playoffs, because the reality is of the position they're in, they're not going to go into game 80 and have a playoff spot clinched, right? So I think he's going to wind up sitting if they're going to the playoffs. Maybe he debuts in the playoffs if there's an injury or what have you. But
crazier things have happened.
Yeah, so I think if they're going to miss, he will play. If they're going to make it or continue to try to make it right up to game 82, I don't really think that he plays.
I think he's super offensively talented. I cannot wait to watch that. I worry a little bit about, Jesus, only Daryl Sutter here. I worry about his size a little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you Peltier's know, honestly, like no either. I think he's got a little bit more upper end scoring than Peltier does. But the same things that worried me about Peltier worried me about Coronato, although I think Peltier might be a little bit more gritty, tougher player that can handle that style better. That makes sense.
Well, he is, and I mean I followed Peltier's junior career here at Moncton for the majority of it. He's a more of a Daryl Sutter type player, but you're absolutely bang on in saying Coronato is a more offensive player. And the thing that excites me the most about Coronato is his position on the right side, because that's still, you know, apart from Toffoli, there's no clear, you know, definitive right wingers in this team with a lot of scoring touch.
Yeah,
usually it's somebody playing their off wing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. I'm excited. I part of me right away wanted to be like, no, we got to get him in right away. But then I thought twice about it, and I'm like, you know, we are legitimately in a playoff run, and I don't even know if that's fair to him right at the moment. And not that I think he would screw up. I don't think any of these guys would. I don't think they would go out there and be like, well, we lost because Coronato had two giveaways. I don't think that would happen. I really don't.
No, I don't think so either. But I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with him, you know, not playing. I do think, and this may be a bold statement, but thinking about it just now, apart from Elias Lindholm, who's more center now than a right winger anyway, Matthew Coronato has a very good chance to be the best right winger on this team since Jarome Iginla.
That's a big ass bold statement, isn't it?
But think about it. How many have there been?
There hasn't. It's been one of our thorns in our side for the last 5 years, 6 years.
And that's to say nothing against how fantastic Tyler Toffoli's been this year.
Oh, he's been wonderful. But like last night, I'm hearing people, we need to re-sign him for 4 years at $8 million. I'm like, shut up. Like, what are we doing? Like, one guy has a great year. Like, remember, I wanted to be like, knock. Guys, 12 months ago in the playoffs, he was a ghost. He's been
our, and then until he finally had that goal in game seven against Dallas is when he, you know,
he's been our savior this year. He's been a hell of a hockey player. Let's just get on with the season before we start re-signing 31-year-olds to 5-year deals. My God.
Oh, well, and we get way too many contracts that are going to go well into the late 30s. Yeah. Definitely not something you want to do. I mean, like, again, great season, but we're not in a position to be throwing long-term dollars and money at guys that are at that age.
If you had to throw a prediction out for next season, where does Matthew Coronato play?
In Calgary.
with the Flames and not the Wranglers.
Wait, sorry, I forgot to cover that now.
I would say
with the Flames. I think he's going to have a really good summer training wise and show up in really good shape and earn a spot in camp. What do you think of it? You see him with the Wranglers or with the Flames? Maybe start with the Wranglers.
I think he's going to be with the Wranglers just based off our track record. If I had to put money in Vegas, he's with the Wranglers unless he completely dazzles in preseason, which I'm not saying he can't do that. I think this guy is super talented, but I think one of the things that happens, and I'm going to say something that I'm probably going to get trashed for.
Hey, it's to make people listen. How about it?
Kyle, I look at fan markets, right? And the Canadian markets know their teams better than the American markets in most cases. I will say there's a couple American markets that probably know it as
Boston,
well.
Philly.
Yeah.
You know, there's certainly.
I'd even say Minnesota would be one.
Absolutely.
There's a handful of them I'd throw out there. And I'm not knocking San Jose, and I'm not knocking Columbus, and I'm not knocking some of these other teams that I wouldn't put on that list. And I'm not making fun of Canadians by saying this either. But Canadians have a bad habit of pigeonholing where a guy was drafted and crucifying or over-elevating the expectations to a point of failure.
Yeah, I agree. And especially places like Montreal. You know, they're probably the worst for it. And that is largely due to the whole, like the French-Canadian dynamic. I mean, people can think what they want, and some people know more than I do, of course, but I think part of the reason Jonathan Drouin has been such a failure in Montreal is because he's a French-Canadian kid.
Yeah.
And I think he's dealing with some personal issues that related maybe to his mental health, and again, just speculating, but a very, very talented player who has been atrocious for that team, and I don't really entirely fault the player for that.
Sam Bennett's an example, and I'm not saying that that's not Sam Bennett's fault, and I'm not saying it's the Flames organization's fault or the fan base's fault. Stuff happens. I just don't want us to be like, we've got to get Coronado in or we're going to be awful. Like,
yeah.
I want it. No. It's the same with the Dustin Wolf thing. Do I think he's amazing? Do I want him on the team? I do. I just want it done
intelligently.
Yeah.
Correctly, patiently, perhaps. I want to expand on something you said too that I think is really important for those, you know, out of market fans that might be hearing what you've just said. I think places like San Jose, for example, have fans that are every bit as passionate.
Absolutely.
Just not the masses. Yeah, and so you got, you know, maybe 5,000 instead of 20,000. I mean, look at, you know, a place like Nashville, which has become, you know, hockey hotbeds.
It's a tight knit group,
and their media isn't nearly as brutal as, you know, the Canadian media. And,
no,
you know,
if you walk in right now, and you probably could walk up to 15 people, 20 people in a Nashville game and say, "Hey, name me your last three number one draft picks." They couldn't do it.
Yeah,
but I walk into the Saddle Dome and I say, "Name me your last three number one draft picks." It's boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. Exactly. 100%.
It's just the way it is. And I'm not thinking, and I'm not ripping the American markets, and I'm not making fun of the Canadian markets and saying that. I just think the Canadian markets needs to lay off just a little bit. We need to, these are human beings. These aren't robots. We can't go into this with these uber expectations that, you know, Coronado's here to save the day.
Yeah, because even what I said, I mean, about him being potentially the best right winger on the team since Aguilar. First of all, go through the roster over the, you know, last 10 years, there's not a lot of competition for that, right? Oh, so that, really? That's the most important piece of what I said. But it's also a matter of recognizing the guy is an elite level hockey talent who there's every reason to believe he's going to be successful. But I mean, if he settles in as a Tyler Toffoli type 60 point right winger,
perfect.
That's pretty damn good. I don't necessarily think he's going to be a 90, 100 point player in the NHL, right?
I just think we need, yep, I agree with you. We got to go into it realistically.
Yeah, now he's on the team. I think there was a lot. We should talk about that too briefly. There was a lot of rhetoric and conjecture around, oh, they're going to be able to sign him. The things that happen with guys like Adam Fox, regardless of their nationality, those are the exceptions, not the rule.
Absolutely.
That, you know, it was all that panic when Gaudreau was signed in Calgary and Craig Conroy, as an American, had a big hand in making that happen. it was very unlikely that Coronado was not going to sign with the team.
See, what a lot of Canadians forget, too, that if you're an American, right, and you watch hockey and you follow hockey, you would have to be blind not to see that the Canadian markets have excitement levels to a level higher than the American markets in most cases. In most cases. Sure. I don't know about you, Kyle, but if I was ever lucky enough to have ever had the chance to play in the National Hockey League, I want to play in a market that's batshit crazy happy and excited about hockey. And I don't want to play in a market that people are like, well, there's a game tonight. I mean, Kyle, I went on a cruise one time and my wife and I land in Florida, right? We get off the airport. Yep. We're going to go. We're in Miami. There's nothing to do. I said, geez, pull up the schedule. See if the Panthers play tonight. My wife, we're standing in the lobby of the hotel. My wife asked the lady at the front thing. She says, do you know if the Florida Panthers play in town tonight? And the lady looked at her and said, who are the Panthers?
Oh, Lord.
This stuff happens, right? This doesn't happen. Okay, I went to check into a hotel in Vancouver a couple years ago. I walked in. I didn't have anything hockey on me. I walk in, and the lady's like, are you going to the game tonight?
Yeah.
She wasn't talking about the lacrosse game. She's talking about the Canucks game. That's the difference, man. That's the difference.
Yeah. It's also kind of a neat aside. I don't think it's particularly relevant now, but in the 80s, how many college stars from the U.S. came and played for the Flames?
Tons of them.
You know, Joel Otto, Gary Suter, like some fantastic players. I mean, a lot of that because of Bob Johnson, but I mean...
James Patrick? I know you probably don't remember him. He wasn't a...
Oh, I remember James Patrick.
He was a solid defenseman, man. Solid defenseman.
Yep. Really good career. Yep. Finished in Buffalo, I think, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. See? Used to watch him when I was a young kid. He played at the University of North Dakota. Great guy.
That's right, too, yeah. Great very cool.
Great guy. Let's talk playoffs before we...
Wait, what? Playoffs? Are we going to the playoffs?
Well, I don't know. Let's look at the chart. I got my chart here that tells me if we're going or not. And I look at our schedule, and there's a couple things I want to talk about. Now, we're getting Anaheim on Sunday night, right?
Yeah, at a decent time, too. I'm really stoked for that. It's like 9 p.m. start Atlantic. Woo!
Listen to this, though. They're coming off a late Hockey Night in Canada game tonight in Edmonton.
Yeah.
And then play what some would consider an earlier start tomorrow night.
Well, it's two hours earlier. Yeah. So,
So that's good news for us. Yep. Winnipeg, this is bad news here. This is where I level out the good with the bad. They get New Jersey tomorrow.
Yeah.
And New Jersey's playing tonight in Chicago. So that sucks if you're the Devils. It does.
But the Devils are a really good team. So,
and the Devils need to win because if you look at the standings, the Devils are two back of Carolina.
Also,
one back.
Also wearing my Mike Camilleri jersey, just realizing that he had signed a big contract with the Devils at one point. So maybe that'll help them win as well.
Well, we're digging deep here. We're digging deep into the list here. Other good news for the Flames. The Flames play one game against a playoff team, and that's Winnipeg. Winnipeg plays 3, and Nashville plays 6 of their last 7 are against playoff teams.
Yep. Nashville had a cakewalk today against the Blues, which isn't really surprising, but we can't count them out yet.
Winnipeg had a cakewalk against freaking Detroit last night.
Yeah.
Calgary has 4 games at home, 2 on the road. Winnipeg has 4 at home, 2 on the road. Nashville has 4 at home, 3 on the road. The tiebreaker does not work in our favor because the tiebreaker's regulation wins, and Winnipeg's got 32 and the Flames have 28.
Yeah.
So we need to be a point ahead when this is all said and done. But I don't know about you, Kyle. I would rather take Anaheim, Chicago, Winnipeg, Vancouver, Nashville, San Jose as a schedule over New Jersey, Calgary, Nashville, San Jose, Minnesota, Colorado.
Now, interesting that you mentioned the Blackhawks, too. First of all, yes, you're absolutely right. I agree with that. But you mentioned the Blackhawks, so the Flames play the Blackhawks on Tuesday at home before traveling to Winnipeg for Wednesday's game. So that leads me to believe that you're probably going to see Dan Vladar on Tuesday.
Yes, I would bet.
And that they're going to... That's the toughest back-to-back of the season right there. Of course
it would be. Because you got to go through customs that night too, and that's not fun.
Yeah. No, that's why the Flames don't. The Flames are at home against the Hawks.
Oh, they don't. They don't. That's good. That's good news.
Yeah. So it's a very short flight from Calgary to Winnipeg.
Yes, that is good news. The Devils have to go through that tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks. It adds another hour and a half.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, we know that the Flames are going to have to win the Winnipeg game. That's Wednesday.
There's no question. They cannot lose that game. They cannot win it in overtime or shootout, in my mind. Giving Winnipeg a point is a very bad idea.
I think it's a bad idea.
that's the most obvious thing we've ever said on this podcast. Yeah. It reminds me of a line on South Park with the ski instructor. If you pizza when you should have French fried, you're going to have a bad time. You give a point to Winnipeg, you're going to have a bad time.
But that Nashville game's almost, it's not as important as Winnipeg, but it's pretty damn important because we got to get Nashville out of the picture here.
Nashville's got to piss off somewhere. That's what Nashville's going to do.
And you know what? The whole thing that pisses me off about this, and I didn't figure it out. I did not even.
Ooh, me. Yeah. Because they sold at the deadline and they're still in it?
Yeah, that too. But you know what else totally irritates the shit out of me is? They would not have all these games in hand hadn't their sewer broke outside of their arena and flooded their arena.
Is that what happened?
Yes. And the Minnesota and Colorado game were supposed to be played earlier and got shuffled to the end of the season.
I wondered why.
Piss me off. A water main break is going to make me and you watch the Nashville Predators play against the Colorado Avalanche with the Flames playoff life on the line. If that happens, I'm going to be pissed.
And Matt Duchene's injured, so we can't watch Lucic destroy him again.
Well, it wouldn't even be us playing. We'd be watching them play Colorado, hoping the hell they lose. If it comes down to that, I'm going to be mad.
Well, I would suspect they would lose to the Avalanche, but it's so, like, look at the East, too. Not that I pay a ton of attention to the East most days, but that logjam of teams trying to get into the wildcard spot there, like, it's insane. There's going to be some really good hockey teams that miss the playoffs.
I think it's done. The only team that can get in still is Florida. It's going to be Florida and Pittsburgh fighting for that last spot. Buffalo and Ottawa, Washington, they all checked out.
I was hoping Ottawa would pull it off.
I was, too. I really was. I always cheer for Ottawa. I don't know why I cheer for Ottawa. I kind of feel bad for
Buffalo. I just cheer for Ottawa because I go to Ottawa all the time for work. So
yeah,
so it's like a third home for me at this point.
All right, Kyle and I are back.
My second.
I don't know. This playoff thing gets guys stressed out, but it's sure a hell of a lot more fun than the Vancouver fans are doing, right?
Who cares about them?
Kyle and I are back in 1 minute to preview the games ahead this week.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Kyle, three big games ahead before we next talk. Sunday night, Anaheim in Calgary. Anaheim's coming off that late night game in Edmonton tonight. Anaheim's not good. Only two wins in their last 10, which scares the hell out of me. Fourth and final meeting, Calgary won 3-2. Anaheim won 3-1. Calgary won 5-1. It's a must win. Well, it's not. This one isn't a must win, but boy.
You can't screw it up. There isn't really a margin for error at this point, because if you think, you know, if Winnipeg loses their next game and then the Flames lose, it's still the same, still 2 points. Doesn't matter. You just lost more road, right?
Yeah, because you're running on a road. So, I mean, it's not death if we lose. It just makes the road shorter and harder and more help needed.
You're not dead, but you're looking for a plot. You get the diagnosis and it's not good.
Well, I think we picked the plot out a couple weeks ago, though, Kyle. I think we're past that.
This is a great analogy. I don't think I've ever heard one quite like this. A little cryptic, but
yeah, I think we picked the plot out. Tuesday, Chicago comes to town. They're even worse than Anaheim. Losers of six straight.
Not against Calgary.
Full Bedard tank, but they've beat us this year 4-3 and 5-1. Figure that one out.
No, I'd rather not.
Who the hell's going to be in goal for them? That's what I want to know. Is it some guy in his first night?
Scott Foster.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I can't believe I remembered his name that quickly.
That was awesome. That was quick. That was really quick.
That was really cool.
And then the second night of a back-to-back, Wednesday night, Calgary in Winnipeg. You know, there has been part of me that has thought about going to that game.
That would be... How far of a drive is that for you?
4.5 hours.
That's not bad, man. That is so reasonable.
I know.
Now you're making me want to fly out there on Wednesday. I mean, nobody wants to fly to Winnipeg, so I should look at it.
It's just such bad timing. But, boy, it's going to be a good one. It's the biggest game of the year. We can say that. It's easy to say that. We've probably said that 100 times this year. But this one truly is. If we lose this one, we said it earlier, we're screwed.
Hey, if they lose that one, they're damn near screwed themselves.
They are. This is such a critical game, and it's going to be interesting to see how we go into this game, because we could go into it tied with them. We could go into it 2-back. Could go into it 4-back. We could go into it... Could we go into it 2-up? No. Oh, we could. Yes, we could. If we beat Anaheim and Chicago and they lose to New Jersey, we would be 2-up.
Yeah.
I don't think that happens.
I don't think so either, but I am going to be cheering some hard for the Devils.
Me too. Me too. I don't even usually cheer for the Devils.
Because I like the Jets. I really do.
I do too.
They don't right now.
They need to piss off. They need to. Yeah, they're a thorn on our side right now. And last night when I see their big guns start to heat up, I'm just like, oh, dang it. This is not the time for these guys to start getting scoring touch. Not.
Yeah.
And Detroit looked like they could have given two shits less last night. They wanted out, and they wanted to go home.
Yeah, exactly.
Not trying to get ahead of myself either, but have you thought about this? If Calgary can somehow, I don't know how, get into this playoffs, and we're the second wild card, and Edmonton rolls off a couple wins, does that mean a round one Battle of Alberta with the Edmonton Oilers? I can't imagine how crazy that would be. I had heard a lot of talk people last night. Well, who would you want in the playoffs? I'm like, would everybody just shut the hell up? I just want to get to the playoffs. I don't care who I play in the first round of the playoffs.
But exactly right.
I don't know. It is going to be a fun week. And Sunday nights are usually my quiet night. And tomorrow night's going to be one wild and crazy Sunday night as the Flames take on the Ducks. 2 points at stake. Winnipeg plays tomorrow night against New Jersey. Cheer on those Devils. We are back next week. Will this team be in a playoff spot? Will they be dead? Will the Jets game matter? I think it will. And lots to talk about next week. Kyle and I are looking forward to it.
For now. We'll see how it goes.
Be positive, Kyle. Come on.
Gotta I'm be working positive. On it, man. I'm working. Let's win tomorrow and then touch base with me. We'll see how I am then.
Thanks for everything, Kyle. Enjoy your week. Flames fans, enjoy your week and embrace the playoff run.
As long as we can.
Connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. Check out the Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Host Brad Brood is on Twitter at Brad Brood, and host Kyle Lewis is on Twitter at VanLewis14. Like what you hear? Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Flames Unfiltered can be found on all the major podcast players. Want to watch the show? You got it. Check out Inside Edge Hockey Media Group for every show. Subscribe while you watch. Thanks for listening, watching, and interacting. Enjoy the hockey action.
The win column, playoff! Yeah, baby! Playoff! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.